Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. It's Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, live and direct from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Looking straight out the window at Mount Hood and the Willamette River. It's a great day, folks. Thanks for being here. We'll get to our discussion from that last hour there. I opened up a whole can of worms, didn't I? Got the chat room going off in detail about Rush, which apparently used to be amyl nitrate and is now butyl nitrate, probably because the government banned amyl nitrate, right? Which again, goes to show that point about the futility of trying to ban stuff that gets people high, because then chemists just come up with a different cook of the molecule, you know, switch an isomer here or there, and it basically does the same thing, but it doesn't fit the same definition, so now it's not illegal. Happens all the time. Happens all the time, man. Sorry I opened up that can of worms, though, because it's not like I have any expertise here. I think I did sniff some Rush like when I was 19 or 20, I think. And it just gave me a massive headache, and that was enough. Like, that's enough for me. Don't need that drug. But anyway, to each their own. Enjoy yourself. Just be safe. And get the facts. That's the other bad thing about the prohibition. You can't get the facts so well. You can't always know what you're getting into. And to get around all these FDA rules and stuff, they'll make these products and say, not intended for human consumption. That's what you'll see on the packets of spice or the bath salts. Not intended for... Folks, they know it's for human consumption. We know it's human consumption. Government knows it's for human consumption. If it's just going to be loopholed around, let's just make it legal. Let's just make it legal and regulated and give people the right information to make safe decisions. Ah, man, it's just, it's part of this overall frustration I have with our society and its attitude toward chemical enhancements, right? And I can take this on a lot of different angles. Like, one angle is the sports angle. Right. We can't have our athletes on steroids and performance enhancing drugs. They have to compete clean and natural. Well, what the fuck is clean and natural about Tommy John elbow surgery? What is clean and natural about Barry Bonds batting armor? What is clean and natural about the latest sports medicine techniques and nutritional understandings? I mean, athletes today are so much different than athletes of 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, that they're not even comparable. We're willing to accept all of these other enhancements, mechanical enhancements. I mean, we'll accept a double amputee running in the Olympics against people with meat legs running on his carbon fiber springs. We'll accept that. We'll accept that. That's fine to change up your body and compete unnaturally using physical technology. We're cool with that. Nutritional technology, we're fine. Surgical technology, enhance yourself all you want. But by God, don't take any human growth hormone or steroids or amphetamines or anything else. Why? Why? supposedly it's to keep the athletes safe. Why don't you keep them all safe? These are dangerous drugs. These are dangerous. Well, surgery is dangerous. Every time you go under anesthesia for surgery, it's dangerous. Lots of things are dangerous. This idea that, well, we have to keep them clean because then if we allowed them to dope up, then everybody'd be doping up. All right, well, check this out. You remember Lance Armstrong, right? Tour de France winner that got disgraced from all the doping. You know, for years and years, he lied that he wasn't doping and he was doping and he was caught, right? And they stripped the Tour de France wins from him, right? So I forget which one it was, but maybe it was the last one. But I saw a stat out there about Lance Armstrong that said, if you took Lance Armstrong's win of the Tour de France and gave it to the next highest finishing Tour de France bicyclist who finished the race, the next highest, you know, give it to the next highest one who wasn't doping, you'd have to give it to the guy that finished in 37th place. 37th place. The top 36 finishers, the top 35 guys after Lance Armstrong were doping too. So, yeah, if they're doping, then they'll all be doping. Yes, they are. And to me, it's more of a disservice to that 37th place finisher who is competing clean because he thinks it's the right thing to do and wants to follow the rules, has to compete against guys who aren't clean because they're the kind of people who will skirt the rules. So really, you're penalizing the clean athlete for being the kind of person that follows the rules. If the rules allowed for these substances to be used, then people could be open about it. Doctors could be open about it. They could use better techniques, develop safer procedures. And the so-called clean athlete wouldn't have to fear using any of these substances in the right way. It's this prejudice against chemical enhancement. So it's not just in sports, though. It's also in our regular civilian fun activities, right? Like, it's perfectly acceptable and sane in our society if you told your friends, hey, I want to be a skydiver. I'm going to go to the local airport. I'm going to take skydiving lessons. I'm going to get into planes, strap myself to another human being for the first 100 jumps or whatever it is. And we're going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane from thousands of feet in the air because it gives me a rush. I get off on it. It makes me feel good. I get excited. Turns me on. And nobody would bat an eye. Well, yeah, some people would be like, you're crazy jumping out of a plane. But nobody would try to stop you. There'd be no cops waiting to try to keep you from doing it. Unless, you know, you're trying to jump over an unauthorized area or whatever. But you know what I mean? We allow people to skydive. We allow people to bungee jump. If you want, you can go up and climb Yosemite with no safety equipment whatsoever. Right? You can free climb. You know those guys that free climb. I'm looking out at Mount Hood. We, every other week or so, are having to send out county sheriff's rescue teams to rescue people that are hiking up on Mount Hood. That's perfectly okay. If you want to get your jollies by putting your body at mortal risk of physical death, we got no problem with it. But if you want to get your jollies off of a chemical rush, now it's a problem. I've just never understood why our society would be so cool with me risking the need for public safety officers to come save my ass, risking that, you know, we can guarantee there will be a cost to society from having to rescue people off the mountain or, you know, a hospital cost for someone who got injured in a skydiving accident or whatever. We can guarantee the cost there. But if I wanted to sit here and shoot up heroin in the privacy of my home, that's something we need to try to stop people from doing? I don't understand this chemical bigotry. It just upsets me. All right, we're going to take a break. And quick reminder, we have a new live call-in number now here at the Russ Belville Show. Just got it today on Google Voice. Haven't tried it out yet, but I think it works. Our Google Voice number here is 650 Legal MJ, 650-534-2565. That spells Legal MJ. When we come back, we're going to talk about Arizona's governor, who just doesn't get the fact that marijuana is safer than alcohol. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Thanks for being here, and we'll be right back in just 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Your grapefruits are no match for my Trump Towers.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Aw, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. 13 after the hour. Beautiful day out here in the Pacific Northwest. Got some blue skies out. Got to enjoy them while they're still around. Telling you, once October hits, it's cloudy with a chance of wet, highs and lows near 45 degrees, plus or minus 7. Got to batten down the hatches here. We're going to make our way out to the state of Arizona here, but quick reminder, our phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. 650-LEGAL-MJ. But there's a... We spoke with J.P. Holyoake earlier this week from the Arizona Prop 205 campaign, and he mentioned the Arizona governor, Doug Ducey, has a problem with understanding the basic pharmacokinetics of alcohol versus marijuana. Ducey is telling people they need to vote against Prop 205 to legalize marijuana because of the state's opioid problem. Here's his quote. If we want to expand this universe of people that are addicted and abusing drugs, well, you'll have that chance in November. I don't think any state becomes stronger by being stoned. Okay. Expand the universe of people that are addicted and abusing drugs, right? So he also cites unintended consequences of legalization so far, particularly, quote, how marijuana has infiltrated high schools with brownies and cookies and Pez dispensers and all-day suckers, end quote. And he tries to bring up the newborns testing positive for THC, the emergency room admissions, and so forth. Now, that's some typical reefer madness that you'd expect from a Republican governor in Arizona. But then he stepped way over the line, saying, quote, "I would check your facts when you say something is not addictive, that something's safer than alcohol." Oh, you want us to check facts, huh? You want some facts on marijuana being safer than alcohol? All right, well, that's cool. Let's get to it. First of all, is marijuana addictive? Well, yes, sure. Anything can be addictive. You can develop a bad relationship with food or sex or gambling. It's the person that's the addict, not the substance that causes the addict. Now, the research shows, and according to National Institutes of Drug Abuse and others, that roughly 9% of the people who use marijuana, about 1 out of 11, will eventually become dependent upon it. Now, again, remember, when they say dependence in this context, they mean a person who uses marijuana often, nearly always. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean this person has a huge problem with it. Now, they like to say, well, it's the DSM-5, and there's the clinical definition of cannabis dependence. Do you have tolerance? Do you have cravings? Do you spend a lot of time going after the drug? Has it interfered with your life legally or your school and so forth? And all of these things are confounded by the fact, for most people, that marijuana is illegal. Did you spend a lot of time trying to get marijuana? Yeah, because it's illegal. Did it cause problems in your life? Yeah, because I got busted for it and it's illegal. But anyway, based on that, they say it's about 9%. Now, when you look at alcohol, though, the same study finds for drinkers a much higher rate of addiction, of dependence issues, reaching into 15%. For alcohol, and reaching about a third, about 33%, who tried tobacco. So it's a point number one you lose. Marijuana is less dependence causing than alcohol. Number two, is marijuana safer than alcohol? Well, yes. Marijuana users are less likely to become dependent. Marijuana is non-toxic. With alcohol, you can die from it, from drinking too much. Marijuana's impairment is different. The impairment is different. The impairment under alcohol is one that changes your judgment and impairs your physicality. Marijuana may impair your physicality at some level, but not your judgment to the same extent. The federal crash data show that you get into a car accident, the odds are much greater if you've been drinking. The odds don't change hardly at all if you're smoking weed, and especially if we adjust for age and gender. Alcohol is linked to violent behavior. Marijuana, not really. So, of course, marijuana is less harmful than alcohol. That doesn't mean it's harmless. You can have some bad effects from marijuana. Some people get paranoid. Some people get anxious. But nothing like what can happen for alcohol. In every respect, number of deaths, number of accidents, domestic violence, sickness, illness, productivity, work days lost, any measure you want to measure it by, Governor Ducey, marijuana is safer than alcohol. The only thing that marijuana is going to cause more risk of than alcohol is your appreciation for noodly guitar solos. And your love of Funyuns. That's it. And yet, this is not a call for alcohol to be banned or more restricted. I believe our society has done fairly well with alcohol. We could do better, but we've done fairly well with it. And if we can accept that, if we can accept the worst, most harmful, deleterious, dangerous, illness-causing, injury-causing, death-causing drug in alcohol to be damn near ubiquitous in our society, there's no logical reason we can't accept marijuana.
You're really clouding the energy in this room right now.
I'm not trying to. Hey, folks, it's 420 in the Pacific time zone. That means happy 420 to our friends in Talent, Oregon. We're going to take a brief safety meeting. Make sure we're doing everything safely, of course. When we come back, Jesse Ventura and a tragic case out of Chicago to tell you about.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the cannabis liberation movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the cannabis crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a great safety meeting, 23 after the hour. And Jesse Ventura is in the news again. The former military man. I don't think he was a Navy SEAL. He was a... What did he do in the military? Anyway. Former governor of Minnesota and professional wrestler. I know that for sure. Is out on the talk show circuit promoting his new book, Marijuana Manifesto. And we've got our request in to his PR agency, by the way. We're hoping to have Governor Ventura on the show soon. But his new book, Marijuana Manifesto, makes the case for legalizing cannabis. And there's an excerpt from his book that I'd like to just read a couple paragraphs from. This is being posted by 13.org, spelled out, 13.org, from Metro Focus. This is WLIW21, New Jersey TV. And this is from the second chapter of Jesse Ventura's book, Marijuana Manifesto. How to Win the War on Drugs. I believe there is a way to win the war against the drug cartels. America and Mexico would have to legalize all drugs that have the potential for substance abuse, just like we do with tobacco and alcohol. Legalizing marijuana alone isn't enough. Even if we just decriminalized all drugs, we could significantly help addicts get the care they need in clinics and hospitals. Drug addiction should be treated medically because addiction is a medical condition. Putting drug addicts into jail doesn't solve the root cause of the problem. As the famous quote goes, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. This type of insanity describes the so-called war on drugs perfectly. We continue to treat drug addiction criminally. However, if we treat it as a medical condition, I think you'd see our incarceration rates drop dramatically due to the fact that we are not putting these people in jail, but in hospitals and rehab facilities. I think you'd see the drug war death tolls drop dramatically too. In 2009, Mexico did decriminalize the possession of small amounts of all major narcotics, from marijuana to cocaine to heroin to ecstasy to crystal meth. Instead of arresting people caught with drugs, the police advised them to get clean and even gave them the addresses of the nearest rehab clinics. Now, when I say small amounts of drugs, however, I mean really small amounts, what I would consider a nearly insignificant amount of drugs. Cocaine was set at half a gram, heroin at 50 milligrams, meth at 40 milligrams, and marijuana at 5 grams. These amounts are all considered acceptable personal use amounts, meaning if the person is caught with this amount, it's clear that person isn't intending to sell it, which is still illegal, but that the person is intending to use it. I'd like to know, however, how the courts arrived at these particular quantities as the exact amount for personal use. For instance, in Washington State and Colorado, it is legal to have up to 28 grams of marijuana on you, and that is considered personal use. See what I mean by 5 grams of marijuana being an insignificant amount? In any case, this decriminalization law has yet to lower arrest rates because officers in Mexico rarely arrested people caught with those small amounts of drugs in the first place. They typically use the opportunity to get a bribe out of someone. Again, it still remains illegal to sell drugs in any capacity, so clearly that isn't stopping anyone from buying them. So that's an excerpt from Jesse Ventura's book, Marijuana Manifesto, and makes the very good point. And it's something that I think is going to be, we're going to be talking increasingly about this, especially after the 2016 election. And that is the need to move beyond just marijuana in our fight to end prohibition. And it's going to be hard to push for the decriminalization and legalization of these other drugs. Marijuana enjoys about 50 to 58% support for legalization. The next greatest support for any other drugs is like magic mushrooms at 8 to 10%. I think the fight will definitely have to start with decriminalization. In fact, I'm urging the rest of the states that don't yet have any sort of marijuana reform to start seriously considering pivoting away from the medical marijuana arguments for a while and pivoting to decriminalization. I think, and I've said this for Idaho, and I think it could work in Texas. I could think it work in a lot of places, especially the places that are bordering the states that legalize marijuana. I think you could sell decriminalization better than you can sell medical. But you could add a medical aspect to decriminalization that would also help to sell it. Here's what I suggest. And again, this is based on my knowledge of Idaho, but apply it to your state. In Idaho, they're bordered by Washington and Colorado that have legal weed. Soon, Nevada will have legal weed. And of course, California as well. And that just means more and more weed coming across the Idaho border. And that means Idaho cops spending Idaho taxpayer dollars to catch these people, spending cop time to take them to the jail and book them, spending crime lab time to determine that the green leafy substance is indeed cannabis, spending court time to try these cases, spending public defender time to represent these people, spending more of our jail time, more of our guards time, more of our probation officers time, etc. For what? Obviously, this is like the little boy with his finger in the dike. He's never going to stop the whole flood. So I think decriminalization could be sold to Idaho by saying, look, rather than spend all this money because everyone around you legalized pot, why don't you make some money because everyone around you legalized pot? If you decriminalize the personal amounts that people are likely to be traveling with, again, we're not talking about letting people get away with 20 pounds of weed in the trunk going to, you know, Chicago with it, crossing Idaho, right? We're talking about people caught with personal amounts, people caught with their less than an ounce in their pot pipe that they can legally have in Washington and Oregon and soon Nevada. Decriminalize that. Make that a fine. Make it a fine, and make it. You could even have different levels of fine. You could say maybe the fine is, I don't know, $300 if you're an Idaho resident and $500 if you're from out of state, right? That way you could sell that part in the campaign by saying our decriminalization law is going to, crack down on people bringing marijuana across the border, their personal amounts, by making it a big freaking fine, $500. Then, as you've got people onto the idea of, hey, we're still punishing potheads, and we're saving our money as far as tax and cops and courts and labs and all that, we're actually making a profit off this. Once you've got that profit motive set into those people's heads, then you can wheel out the compassion side. You can say, and in our decriminalization law, we will offer first-time offender that we catch, if you've got a medical card from another state, or you can demonstrate a severe medical need, we'll waive the fine. The state will just waive the fine. In this sense, you're getting medical marijuana for Idahoans, right? Because the person in Idaho, first of all, that risk of, getting popped for possession and getting a misdemeanor goes away because you'll have that decriminalized amount of an ounce that they could have on them, right? And then even with that decriminalized ounce that they're caught with and issued the $300 fine, they take it to court, show a note from their doctor that says they're suffering from Crohn's or lupus or fibromyalgia or, compressed disc or whatever the problem might be. And you're not setting up a medical marijuana program where it's an easy get out of jail free card because your condition matches a certain list. Each one of these would have to go to court, and a judge would decide if that person is really medically needy. But with that, I think you could get at least an endurable situation where patients could at least not have to fear jail in the state of Idaho, or being from out of state, being a patient from out of state and having to cross the state. I think that could sell. I think I could sell it. I could sell that in Texas. I could sell that in Georgia. I could sell that in Kansas. Make money off legalization and still punish people. You're not getting rid of the crimes for dealing or possession of large amounts or growing plants. We'll get there. But start with the decrim. Start with the decrim. And if we can get that decrim to take root across the country, we can get the whole nation solidified around the idea that, yeah, we don't like pot, but it's stupid to lock people up for it just for using it. If we can make that, if we can establish that beachhead in all 50 states, that at the very least, individual cannabis consumers don't go to jail, that undermines the reasoning for all the other laws to stay on the books. After a while, it will. After a while, people start to get this idea, well, wait, we're not really punishing people that much for pot. Why do we bother to, why can't we make some more money off this? Why don't we just legalize it? And also consider, this won't be happening in a vacuum. It'll be happening with all the states around that have legalized, that continue to post these great tax numbers that are going to make these states jealous, especially considering most of the states that don't have marijuana reform at this point tend to be the more red state, more poor type of states that are desperate. Hell, Kansas? Oh my God, Kansas is so desperate for money right now. And eventually, as some of the older folks die off, younger folks come in, the lure of that money, the idiocy of continuing to try to stop people from smoking pot will just become so apparent that we'll be able to keep moving on. And of course, the other reason I suggest these states start on the decriminalization route rather than the medical route is because I believe at this point the medical route is somewhat compromised. I think the medical that we'll get is going to continue to arc toward the pharmaceutical companies. It's going to arc toward being dispensary only, non-smokable form only types of medical marijuana laws. Although, I'll add a caveat. With this 2016 election, we got four states with medical marijuana on the ballot. Arkansas, the medical cannabis amendment, is one of the better one of these laws to come around. It will allow some home grow. Now, it's got one of them 20-mile halos on it with dispensaries. So, again, kind of making my point about aiming toward the dispensaries and the pharmaceutical model. I haven't gotten North Dakota's yet to look at. I'm going to check that out and see if there's any plants allowed. The fix in Montana may allow plants. But we'll have to see. I still think that the direction of medical marijuana is inevitably toward a standardized, pharmaceuticalized type of family of cannabinoid products. If you want whole plant marijuana, you need to start fighting for everyone's right to be able to grow it and use it. Medical won't last much longer.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Mention the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well, but words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment here for our final day of the week, this first week of September, 60 days away from the most pivotal election of our lifetime with respect to marijuana reform. Five states voting on legalization, four states voting on medical marijuana, Denver voting on social use, Oregon cities and counties voting on local opt-outs, California cities and counties voting on opt-outs and tax measures and bans, Colorado cities with various tax rate and ban issues to go over, Washington state. Oh my God, so much to cover. We'll have it all for you on Marijuana Election Night 2016. taking place Tuesday, November 8th, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific, lasting till at least 9 p.m. Pacific or later. We're going to be bringing you all the latest results as the polls close from time zone to time zone, working our way from the East Coast to the West Coast. We're bringing it all to you with live reporters from every one of the campaign headquarters. We'll be speaking with the campaign spokespeople. We'll have the leaders of the major marijuana reform organizations joining us. We will have people from Brookings Institute and Marijuana Policy Project and three different marijuana activists running for office in their states. So much to cover. I'm so excited about this, and the planning keeps going on this week, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and frankly, it's kind of scaring me. You know me, I like things simple. I like me and my mic and my laptop and my recorder, and we're good to go. One carry-on bag, and that's all it takes. One man, one setup, in and out, nice and easy. Not so for this gig. Oh, my God. The stuff we are going over on this and the connections, and I don't even want to tell you all of it because I have this nagging fear that a lot of it won't come true, so I don't want to build it all up and then have to, you know, bring it all crashing down. But if it all comes true, oh my God, this will be the biggest show I've ever done. I can't wait. Now, we did get a bad piece of news on our election night coverage. I wanted to bring the election night coverage to you from Oakland, California, from the Bay Area, because it's kind of the seat, if you will, of marijuana activism. It's where Dennis Perone and all those guys in the late 80s, early 90s started, you know, helping building what became the medical marijuana movement in San Francisco. So I wanted to come to you from the Bay Area, especially it would also be sentimental because my first marijuana election night was Prop 19 down there at Oaksterdam. But I'm afraid we will not be able to stream from the Bay Area. Looks like our event will be coming to you from Los Angeles. And what it has to do with our labor costs. We can't afford the labor costs in the Bay Area. The people we would need for the setup on this thing would have to get paid $71 an hour. Jeez. And be paid time and a half. Ooh, because it's after hours. And there'd have to be three of them, and they'd have to be there guaranteed at least 7 hours each. Like, wow, let me whip out the calculator. 71 times 1.5 times 3 times 7 is holy shit. We can't do that. So, yeah, we're going to probably be coming to you from Los Angeles. But we still should have plenty of great guests and plenty of topics to discuss. I also mentioned how over the next 8 weeks, starting next week, we will be bringing you regular interviews from the campaign managers of the various campaigns across the country. For the first 6 weeks, this will happen on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then the last 2 weeks before the election, last 2 weeks of October, Monday through Friday, every day, we will have someone from a campaign talking about the election. So this is the source for your marijuana election information right here on the Russ Belville Show at CannabisRadio.com. All right, we got to get to the lightning round, so to speak. A bunch of topics that have kind of built up here I wanted to talk about. One quick one coming from New Mexico, the land of enchantment, New Mexico State Fair. The Albuquerque Journal is reporting that a 3-week-old female medical cannabis plant made her debut at the opening day of the New Mexico State Fair on Thursday. Now, this harkens back, of course, to right here in Oregon, where the Oregon State Fair displayed the first, second, third place winners among sativa indican hybrids. So they had 9 live female cannabis plants. Now, they weren't budding yet, vegetative, but 9 female cannabis plants on display, like you would the rutabagas or the peonies or the prize hog, on display at the state fair for the first time ever in the nation's history. So this one here in New Mexico, this was a booth, New Mexico Top Organics Ultra Health LLC, one of the medical marijuana companies there in New Mexico, had a 3-week-old cannabis plant on debut at the state fair on Thursday. Didn't last through the day. Got booted out before the day was even over. And after Ultra Health set up the booth, the state fair manager said there's been a huge mistake and you have to remove the plant. And printed materials that contained images of the cannabis plant. A state police officer approached him later in the day and said he needed to remove the plant and other items immediately. They paid $2,000 for the booth and indicated that they would have a plant there. So they're into some discussion about that, I'm sure. The public information officer for the State Department of Health in New Mexico says they're going to investigate because the production of medical cannabis is supposed to occur in a secure facility approved by the state. They could have their license suspended or other disciplinary action. Yeah, so not your Oregon State Fair, that's for damn sure. It's amazing, isn't it, how freaked out people get by just the idea of there being a plant visible to people. It's a three-week-old plant. It ain't even close to smoking anything off of it. But, oh, God, it's just nature. Fear it. Run. Crazy stuff. All right, let me get another story up here that's kind of interesting. The Canadian government has been conducting this survey, an online survey, about various issues in Canada. And it turns out that smoking pot, legalizing marijuana, is the second most popular question they've got. Second most popular question in the survey. The most popular question was about legalizing prostitution. So about 30,000 people answered the survey on marijuana legalization. Prostitution got 31,000. And some of the questions in the survey include: should consumption of marijuana be allowed in any publicly accessible spaces outside the home? To what extent, if any, should home cultivation be allowed in a legalized system? How should governments approach designing laws that will reduce, eliminate, and punish those who operate outside the boundaries of the new legal system of marijuana? And what are your views on the minimum age for purchasing and possessing marijuana? Should the minimum age be consistent across Canada? Or is it acceptable that there be variation amongst provinces and territories? Isn't it nice to have your government asking you how legalization should happen? What would you like to see in your legalization? Our government, that's going to be a while. The only thing they ask us is how much are we using and have we gone crazy because of it? Another great story in the news today, coming out of ESPN.com. Derek Morgan of the Tennessee Titans has said that the National Football League Players Association is going to research medical cannabis. Morgan was on an interview with the Midday 180, which is a radio show in Nashville, and said, quote, "We have some things in the works with the NFL Players Association getting some research studies going for players. Nothing too critical, but getting some research for players and developing that committee to get the NFL Players Association to look at alternative pain management. There's definitely some things in the works, and we just have to keep that going," end quote. So that's great news. NFL, more players are becoming aware of this. Derek Morgan's joined up with Eugene Monroe, recently retired from the Baltimore Ravens. Morgan, in a July interview with ESPN, said, quote, "I just take the NFL for their word. If they say that long-term health and player safety are top priorities of the league, then why aren't you looking into all the options for healthcare that are out there? It's definitely incumbent upon them to really delegate some time and resources to look into it," end quote. Kudos to these players. And really, NFL, you're in a tough play. This is a historic kind of fork in the road for football, as the public now has become aware of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, of recurring concussions, head trauma, the toll that's taken on these men's brains and bodies as they compete to entertain us. And I know people out there, yeah, Russ, but they make $1 million. They make $200 million. Yeah, they do. But those guys aren't the guys making the real money. And really, the $100 million contract like Von Miller and stuff, that's not the common contract, right? The average NFL career is like 5 years or less. And most of these guys make, you know, league minimum or slightly more, $600,000-$700,000 a year maybe. So, yeah, some guys are superstars that become millionaires. Most of them, yeah, they end up living a pretty good, well-off life for 5 years. I had a cousin. My cousin, Rob Morris, played for the Indianapolis Colts for 7 years. Special teams and linebacker. Did his 7 years, made his few million dollars that he made, and got out. And now is, you know, invested in some businesses. And so he's doing well. He's well off, got a nice house, nice car, not hurting for anything, but still suffering the effects of having played football for 7 years in the NFL, 4 years at BYU, all those years in high school, junior high, Pop Warner. They all add up. My cousin Rob is probably 15 years younger than me, I think he is, but I'm a lot more limber and agile at this point in my life. He's wrecked up from all special teams, especially, man. Those are the guys that are running, you know, 80 yards downfield at full speed headlong into a guy, right? So the NFL's at this point where they've got a public relations issue to deal with. There are going to be plenty of parents now who aren't going to get their kids into football, who don't want to see their kids end up with concussions and brain damage and lifespans that end at 50. And if football doesn't get passed on from father to son, the whole system starts to fall apart. Now, the American love of football is very strong. I don't see it falling apart quickly or soon. But if the NFL really wants to get ahead of this issue, they got to get on the medical marijuana track here. They've got to show that they're doing everything they can to keep the players safe, or as safe as possible. We all accept that if you're going to be a mixed martial artist, a boxer, a football player, a hockey player, yeah, you're going to damage yourself. And I'm all for that freedom. But these billionaires that run these leagues, oftentimes off taxpayer-funded stadiums, shouldn't be able to get away with just ruining people's lives and not giving them all the facts and all the medicine that can help them out.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick,
the safe and easy way to pay.
PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Am You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, folks. That's all the time we got this week. We are just about done. Been a great week of shows. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week with more news and views and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. Who do we got next week? Let's take a look. Of course, Dr. Mitch will be joining us on Monday with our cannabis Q&A. Tuesday will be the first of our marijuana election night preview interviews. I don't know which state we've got on tap. Also Wednesday, same thing, more marijuana election night previews. Thursday, we debut our Cultivator's Corner segment with Jorge Cervantes, the legendary grower. And I agree with some of the people in the chat room where they're saying, is it just me or do you miss Jorge's wig? You know, Jorge used to always wear a dreadlock wig and a fake black goatee. And now it's legal here. He's just gone all natural. He's a blonde dude. It's kind of weird. You see Jorge and it's like, hey, who's this blonde dude? But yeah, we'll have that on Thursday for you. And then on Friday, another one of our marijuana election night previews. So you'll get to learn the details about all these initiatives right here on CannabisRadio.com. And then next weekend, we will be in Boston, Massachusetts for the Boston Freedom Rally. I'm flying out on a red eye, so you actually get a Friday show. And then I fly out on a red eye, get there 7 in the morning in Boston. I booked the Airbnb today, $39 a night. 2 nights in Boston for $89, folks. I am a travel ninja. So I will be speaking in a couple panels there. I just got an email from the folks out at the Boston Freedom Rally letting me know about that. So if you're going to be in the area on Saturday, I'll be speaking at the main stage at 1:15. Sunday, speaking at the bandstand at 12:30. I'm also at a Sunday Education Village topic on Reefer Madness in the Media. That's Sunday, 1:15 to 2. And Saturday, a panel on jury nullification at 3:30. I will be the moderator on that panel. If you need any more information from me, you can always send me an email. I'm Radical Russ on everything. That includes gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, bunch of stuff. That's it, folks. Time flies when you legalize. We got to call it a day, call it a week. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.